Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 419, Called to Follow. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 4th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're going to start a new series. This was a surprise to me too, but God says it's time. We're going to do a new series called Jesus Style Disciple Making. In this first message of this series that we're going to kick off is called to Follow. Do you know, do we as God's people realize that we are called, we are chosen for an amazing journey, an amazing life? You know, the title of Christian, we shouldn't just sit back and think, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I have my little bumper sticker, and it's kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to sing today, is that all right? I can feel it, it's just coming, the singing's coming. So get ready for a little jazzy ditty later on. As long as I don't distract myself and then get totally off track. So we're called for so much more than just coming and sitting inside the four walls and a humdrum, yeah, I love Jesus, Jesus loves me life. But we are called, we are a royal priesthood. We've been called, we've been chosen to this amazing army. Welcome to the army. If you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you're in the army now. He calls you a soldier, whether you realize it or not. And we are royalty. That verse in 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race, a chosen people. He chose us. He didn't have to, but out of love, he chose us. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is an amazing invitation that we've been brought to his table, brought into his chosen ones, brought into his army. And he calls us royal. Like, I forgot my crown today, but crowned. We're crowned. We are his precious ones. He redeemed us. He went to the grave and hell for us so that we could have abundant life. And so the life that he died to give us, like we sang in Divine Exchange, is not just so that we could have a humdrum, this little light of mine, Christian, calm, quiet little life, but so that we could have a vibrant, real, intimate life with him. And he's going to take us on a journey. If you're really walking with the Holy Spirit, he's going to take you on a journey. Anybody feel like that? That they're on a journey? Like, some days there's a little turbulence. Buckle up, right? But let's go for the ride, Jesus. I'm with you. Eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so we have to realize that with a calling, there's responsibility. We're called to be his chosen ones. We're called, that verse that we read, it says many things. A priesthood. A priest has authority. Like in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones that gave the sacrifices, and they went before the presence of God on behalf of the whole of the people, right? He calls us priests today. We're in the new covenant now. Praise the Lord. Thank you for Jesus. But we are priests before him to minister. Minister to the Lord, minister to people, to give out what we have freely received from him. And so it's not just about me, myself, and I. It's about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's called me, who's set me apart. That's the next part. It says, a holy nation. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Holy means set apart. Like he stamped us with his seal of the Holy Spirit and put us apart, marked us for something special. Wow, that's exciting. That's vibrant. There's life in that. Is there a little uncertainty in that? Yes. What's up ahead in the journey? Well, he'll tell you. Keep walking with him. Step in step, step in step, step by step with his spirit. In step with his spirit. There we go. Lots of steps. Praise God. We are a people for his own possession. We belong to him. There's ownership. We're no longer orphans. Praise the Lord. He's adopted us. We belong to him. We are his possession, not the world's. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Somebody get excited today that we don't belong to the world. Yes, we're in the world. We don't belong to that. We don't answer to the world. We answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's called us, who set us apart, who has sealed, stamped us with his Holy Spirit. And then it says that you may proclaim, like he speaks all these things about our identity, about who we are, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation set apart, a people for his own possession. That's confirming the identity, the amazing identity that he has given us. So that, and then it says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you. Are you proclaiming the excellencies? How amazing he is. Are you proclaiming that with your life? Are you proclaiming that with your decisions and your time and your interactions with people and all the things? Is our life showing that we belong to Jesus, that we've been set apart for a high calling? Is our life showing that we are following Jesus? You know, I hear a question sometimes that says, if there was a court case or something to convict us of being Christian, would there be enough evidence in my life to convict or say that, yes, she says, you know, she really is a Christian. It's not just a necklace that she wears or a little cute t-shirt or bumper sticker, but that there is enough evidence about this person's life to say, yes, they are a follower of Jesus. Are we proclaiming how amazing, how wonderful he is, his excellencies? Because he's the one, it says, that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's amazing in itself, right? Darkness. We were headed for darkness, the eternity of eternal damnation, being separated from God. And he took us out of that when we said yes to him, and he said, I place you in my light. So that's what we are set apart for. Hallelujah. That's amazing. We are given this identity, and in that identity, like I said, there is a responsibility. There's a calling on our lives. We are called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to make disciples, right? Like the Great Commission. Go, go, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've taught you, right? And I will be with you to the end of the age. That's his promise. That's his covenant with us, that he is accompanying us, that we are not in that task alone, but we must go outside of these walls because we are set apart for something special and different, not just to be pew warmers, seat warmers. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's talk about what it means to be a disciple. Because we could say, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. Here comes my crown. Thank you, assistant. All right. Praise the Lord. A royal priesthood. He's listening back there. Praise God. Having children in church, it works. They listen. I tell you, they listen. The things he says to me during the week, I'm like, where'd you hear that? Yeah, so sister said that up there. He's under our feet. What? Yeah, he's listening. Praise the Lord. What a fine crown this is. Thank you. I don't know if it's going to stay on me as I twirl and move around, but we'll see. So, I might twirl while I sing later. Just get ready. Buckle up. It's a journey with him, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And when the anointing comes on you, when the Holy Spirit is working through you, you might twirl and you might sing a little song because he's doing something amazing, because he's called us for something amazing to flow through us, to affect other lives. And so I hope I'm making this clear and getting the point across that it's not just a humdrum, boring Christian life. We are walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is something amazing for each one of us. There's a destiny, there's a calling on our lives. And part of that is to go and make disciples, to multiply ourselves into other people, to invest your life into somebody else. And like Sister Elizabeth said, it's not going to be a cookie cutter. I'm not going to make another Sarah, and praise the Lord for that, right? But invest the life of, pour out what Jesus has given you and help point somebody else to encounter him. And they discover their giftings and their callings and what makes them come alive, what Jesus has placed inside of them. And so it's not that we're creating these little images of ourselves. We want little images of Jesus, right? And so back to a disciple. We're on the path. We're called to follow him. Really follow him. And it's so important that we have unity in the way that we define the word disciple and then all the other terms that we say, discipleship, disciple making, because we could all say that, but what do we mean? What really is a disciple? Because I could be doing one thing. Oh yeah, I'm making a disciple, but your definition of a disciple is very different than mine, right? And so we're doing totally different things. We need to bring that into unity. And so here at my Father's house, the way we define a disciple, we break it down into three parts. And it comes from Matthew 4:19. Let me make sure that I have this right. Yes, Matthew 4:19 is our scriptural framework where we get this definition from. So in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to them, his disciples, the one he was calling, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." There's three parts in there. So we're going to break this down. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus. Do you see it? In the first part, it says, follow me. So a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus. And we'll break down each one of these parts in a few moments. So a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus. A disciple is the second part, it says, Jesus was saying to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So that second part is us being made into something, being made into fishers of men. I'm going to put this right here. So the second part is being us. A disciple is somebody who is being transformed or being changed by Jesus. So somebody who is a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, somebody who is being changed by Jesus. And the third part, we will be made into fishers of men. So people that are on mission, fishing for men and women to share with them what it means to also get on the path to following Jesus. So let's review. A disciple is somebody who is what? Following Jesus. You guys are awake and awesome. Second, being changed by Jesus or transformed like the butterfly. And third, somebody who is on mission with Jesus. We're on a mission. Mission Impossible. Dun, 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 dun. Stealth mission for Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm amped up today. Okay. It'll help so nobody falls asleep. So those are our three parts coming from that scripture, Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Welcome to the Fisherman's Club. Praise the Lord. And Fisher Ladies Club as well. All right, so let's break this down, each part of this definition. Following Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Are you following Jesus? When you follow somebody, there's certain things that are required to follow them, right? You have to have intentionality. You have to have focus. Let's say I'm in a busy, crowded place. I'm in an airport, and I'm traveling with Pastor Karen, and my job is to stay with Pastor Karen. I am following her because she knows where to go to get to our gate. And it's busy, big airport, busy. People everywhere, sounds, noises, distractions, different stimulation going on, right? Flashing things, beeping things behind me. Get out of the way! Have you almost been run over by one of those carts and they're like honking, they're beeping, and you're like, and somebody's like, yeah, get out of the way. Okay, anyways, so I'm supposed to follow Pastor Karen, right? She's walking fast. She's on a mission. And I better be focused on following her. I need to stay real close. I need to stay close and weave where she's weaving. If she's going left, I'm going to go left. If she's going right, I'm going right. I better stay determined. I better stay persevering. There's a sale on coffee over here. Oh, no, I'm following her. Stay on the track, you know. Oh, look at that souvenir shop. That looks real shiny and pretty and nice. Oh, no, I got to follow Pastor Karen. I'm on the path. I'm staying focused. I'm persevering with what I'm supposed to be doing so that I can keep following her. Are we following Jesus? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Are we following after him? Are we following in his way? Are we following in his truth? Are we following in his life? He came to give us abundant life in every area. Are we really following after that? That's what we're called to. We're called to do that. And let's do it because it's fun and it's exciting and it's great. And it's so much better than just being a fan of Jesus. You can be a Jesus fan. You can have all the gear of, you know, the Jesus fan gear. Like I mentioned, the bumper sticker, the cool coffee cup, the, what else? Cross necklace, the t-shirt. You can have all that outer stuff and call yourself a Christian. But like Pastor Don says, I could call myself a truck driver, but does that make me a truck driver? What's on the inside, right? It's not about the bumper stickers, people. You can have a bumper sticker. Great. That's great. What's on the inside of your heart? I'm concerned with if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, that you are sticking with him like I stick with her in the airport, and I'm following the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going, and I'm not just fanning Jesus. I'm not just making a show of it on Sunday, but I'm following his way. I'm allowing him to speak into my life. Well, I've allowed him to get me on the path to even following him, right? I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm getting excited. What comes is, in order to get us on the path, is conviction of the Holy Spirit. Right? We had to have that conviction in order to get saved, in order to recognize Jesus, in order for us to be woken up from our slumber, from the darkness, for the scales to fall off our eyes when all of us made that decision to choose Jesus, whether it was one day or it was like a process of time, like it was for me. But a conviction of the Holy Spirit to repent, to turn direction and go the other way and surrender our lives, to say that it's not my way, my truth, and my life anymore, but it's his way, his truth, and his life now. And I'm going to go after him all the way, all in, 100%. We do it his way. We're not just a Sunday Christian. And this is a process sometimes for some of us. But we got to say yes. We got to get on the patch, jump on the path and say, I don't know what this looks like and I don't know how to do it, but I surrender my life. I bow my knee to the name of Jesus and I surrender because I have conviction that he is Lord and that I want to truly follow him, not just sit in church and have a nice little kumbaya life. But I want to go after him, what he's got for me. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's about getting on this, like I said, getting on the track to following him. Here at my father's house, we have a tool that we have recently adopted in the last year or so. Some of you have seen this. Hopefully you've seen this in your cell groups. It's the discipleship pathway. It's us deciding, yes, I want to be on the path of following Jesus. There's different stages of growth. This shows growth and maturity all the way through this. And it's not just about showing up and coming to church and I can serve and I can do this and I can do that. What's inside your heart? What revelation do we have? And so each stage of these of this pathway, it comes from revelation. We grow with revelation. The first one is being convicted. And this is broken up into be and do. Here comes the jazzy song, do be, do be, do. Every time we talk about this and we train on this, like yesterday with the disciple makers training, we just break out into this do be, do be, do. The be comes before the do, like revelation in our hearts about who we are, about who Jesus is and what he's doing in our lives. Revelation from the Holy Spirit to change our being. That's be. And out of those revelations at each stage comes an overflow. I'm going to do something with the revelation that I have. So I'm not going to go through all of this, but just to give you an example, the first stage is a B. It's convicted. We get conviction in our hearts that we need Jesus, right? Or that of some sin or something that he wants to correct in our life. And the do that comes out of that conviction from the Holy Spirit is repentance. We say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And I turn direction. Right? And then there's another do that comes out of that, being taught, being enlightened, being called, out of being the revelation of being that I'm called, like I'm talking about, then I want to serve. That's the do that comes out of it. And we get this nice little song as we grow, do be, do be, do, that the be comes before the doing. And so there's a way that we progress through serving, growing, maturing, and serving here at my Father's house. So, praise the Lord. We've got to learn to hear his voice, be in relationship with him, learn to know and obey him, obey his word. And as we do that, revelation comes. And as we follow him, we're following other people that are following him. That's what discipleship is, right? We imitate others as they imitate Christ, the process of disciple making. So I've been on the path a little while of following Jesus, and he pointed me to a person to invest into their life, to disciple them, to pour into them. That person is different than me. Praise the Lord. And God has, you know, brought amazing things to that person's life. They have different giftings and callings than I do. Praise the Lord. And that person had got on the path and moves down the path of maturing and growing with the Holy Spirit, getting revelation and then overflow coming out of their heart. And then is learning how to and has pour that out to other people, to raise up other people that can be on the path. And that's how generations of disciples are born, are grown, are matured. And we're all looking at Jesus together. And we're all in unity making disciples. We're building here at my Father's house. That happens through cell groups is one of the ways that people are discipled here. It's not just a Bible study, but it's a group of believers that come together in unity to support each other. Yes, we study the Bible. We use other resources sometimes, other, you know, ministers' books that have scripture that teach us. But we allow revelation to come so that we are together as we're discussing the word and we are grown. It also happens in one-on-one discipleship that we do here at my Father's house. And that is a personal one-on-one relationship, partnership of one person pouring into another person's life and helping them encounter Jesus to be on the path and keep growing and keep going on the path. All right. So that was the first part of the definition, following Jesus. Number two of our definition of a disciple of Jesus, somebody who is following Jesus, we just talked about that. The second part, somebody who is being changed by Jesus. He says in that verse, Matthew 4:19, I will make you fishers of men. Are disciples just born? As soon as the day that you said yes to Jesus, did you just become a disciple? No, I didn't, and I didn't know what that meant, right? My conversion was a little bit of a more of a process than like a one day, bam, hit me upside the head kind of thing. But anyways, it was a process for me. And he says, I will make you. It's an intentional process. I'm using that word a lot. It's an intentional, I will make you. They're not just born, and it's not just cookie cutter. Boop. Okay, you got saved. Boop. Now you're a disciple. Boop. Now you're a disciple. Yes, we get in all the seed form when we receive Jesus and say yes to him. We get all of his character, his amazingness. We get it. We get the seed. We get the fruit of the Spirit. We get all the equipment that we need. But are we grown up in that? Are we mature in that? Do we know what it means to follow Jesus on that day that we say yes to him, or that time period that we have said yes to him? Probably not. It's a process of being made, of being formed, being transformed, like the butterfly from a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. It's a process of being changed. He changes us, like Sister Elizabeth set me up so beautifully in her transition message, from glory to glory. It's a refining process. The rough diamond, we saw the vision, right? The picture, the image she had. The rough diamond being refined and transformed into a beautiful diamond. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a scripture that goes beautifully with this, and it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we get all of that. Boom, we get it when we receive Jesus. But we need to be changed and transformed. It's a continual process. Is any of us finished being changed and transformed? No, not until we get to his presence, right? We go from glory to glory. Old is made new. We are a new creation. We get to be transformed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's amazing. Don't be scared of it. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit polishing you and refining you. He will do it. He's a gentleman, so he doesn't barge in. Well, you've got to open your heart. You got to say, because if you really want to follow after him, if you really want to do it his way and acknowledge that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, then there's some things in my mind and in my heart that need to be polished and need to be refined to fall off so I can keep following him as I grow, as I'm confronted with stuff, as I'm confronted with the deceit of my own heart. Amen? Right? And so he changes us. He transforms us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to bring us revelation. Doobie, doobie, do. The revelation comes and I get a B and I get the revelation. And then it flows out of me and I keep going because I'm confronted with stuff. I'm confronted with the Word. I'm confronted with the Word of God. We talked about this yesterday with the disciple makers. We need the Word to straighten us up, to encourage us, to build faith, to bring rebuke, to bring correction. We all love that, right? But if we're going to follow him and keep following him, there's some things up here and there's some things down here that need to be changed and broken off of me so that I can keep following his way, not Sarah's way, his way. Is there brokenness in that sometimes? Yes. There is a rubber band. Let us be pliable. Let us be flexible. Let us be a lump of clay on his potter's wheel and say, I'm following you, Jesus. It might hurt some days. It might hurt some days, but keep molding me. Keep transforming me. I want to be a vessel for you. Because sometimes we become fake and we get into that follower mode. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. But it's like there's something that's confronting us from the word or from the power of his Holy Spirit that we're not, there's like a wrestling thing. It's a thought or it's something in our hearts. And yeah, I'm following Jesus. But you're faking it because you got to let something fall off of you. You got to let yourself be transformed. You got to let him mold you. Wow. Wow. I could write a book about that. I'm feeling this coming out. Praise the Lord. Are we letting him do it? We've got to have the word and the spirit together. And with discipleship and the word and the power of his spirit, and he transforms us. He does. I'm not the same Sarah that I was 20 years ago when I received Jesus. Praise the Lord that I'm not, or I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be speaking this. I've continued to say yes and yes, and even on the hard days, and when I didn't understand it, and when I had to go to Argentina, and I had to speak another language, and I had to learn the word comedor, and I, you know, and they didn't have remote controls, and they didn't have carpet, and like all these things, and I had to clean the toilets, and, you know, I was transformed in a major way in those 7 years. And I was confronted with a lot of stuff in my heart, in my mind. And I continue to say yes. And I'm not boasting on myself. It's just, will you continue to say yes, even when it gets hard? Even when you face hard stuff? Because if we say, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, then it's his way, not my way. Not my way or the highway. Right? So let's let him transform us. Disciple making boils down to this effective process. The word of God with the people of God, that's somebody else, you know, I'm under somebody else, that they're, I'm imitating them as they imitate Christ. Help me do this thing of following Jesus, right? So the word of God with the people of God in discipling relationships, and there's accountability in that, empowered by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit over all of that, over me and the Word, my relationship with the Word, my relationship with my disciple maker, the Holy Spirit pouring through them to help me, to instruct me to keep on the path, to instruct me to keep encountering his Word, to be brave on those days that I feel like a kindergartner, you know, and say, you can do this. Keep following him. Keep looking at his Word. We have to have all of those elements, and we will grow, and we will keep going on the path, skipping down the path some days. Doobie, doobie, doo. I'm following Jesus, not my own way. You guys have had enough of the doobie, doobie, doo. I can tell. Okay, I get it. I see your faces. All right, like, really? Come on. Praise the Lord. All right, so that's being transformed by Jesus. So we're a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, somebody who is on mission with Jesus. Are you on mission with Jesus? And you can be on mission even at the level that you're at, even if you received Jesus last week. Welcome to the army now. Welcome to the Fishermen and Fisherwomen's Club. Where's my prop? You knew you wouldn't get by without me having a prop? This is my son's amazing, awesome fishing pole. He says, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. So here's your fishing pole. Welcome to the club. You get to fish. You get to have the pole, right? And I'm going to instruct you how to do it. Not this one. I don't really know how to do this one so well. And this one doesn't have the line. So, you know, we'd be a little having trouble. But fishing for people, making disciples, That we can do. That I can do because I follow Jesus as he did that for me and used other people in my life to do that for me. Let's just keep that, keep our visuals. Stay. Okay. How are we doing on time? Okay. Praise the Lord. We're no longer a fan. There's a responsibility to fish. You've been given a pole. You've been given all the equipment. You're being transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus. Are you perfect? No. Do you keep your eyes on Jesus? You better. You better if you want to keep on his path, his way, his truth, his life. We better keep our eyes. See, I messed with it and now it's falling. Okay. We have to give what we have freely received. We freely receive from Jesus through the disciple-making process, through, you know, rendering accounts to somebody else, through surrendering our lives to Jesus, through reading his word and studying it and allowing him to transform our hearts through all of that process. And then we give it out to somebody else. And there's a stage on here really where we're like launched into that, where we're really, you know, we've gotten breakthrough in our lives in different areas and we are ready. We understand that we're called. We're ready to serve and pour out. We're ready to be coached in how to make another disciple and how to do that. And so there's like, there's different stages here that will, you know, release and send out a person to do that and to grow in leadership. But we're called to multiply. We're called to raise up other people for the kingdom of God. Other people that we're all, can you see us like all lined up with our poles? Fishing for others. Fishing for others that are wanting hope and wanting a future, wanting to know this Jesus, wanting to know what it means to follow him, wanting to know, how do I get on the path? I want to get on the path. Okay, well, come on. Come on, and I'll take you fishing with me. I'll show you how to do it. Praise the Lord. We're on mission. There's nothing more fulfilling. I love seeing people, you know, pouring into somebody. In there's many different ways to pour into somebody, but in a disciple-making relationship and watching them take a step and watching them grow and keep going and watching them like a flower that blooms, like a little sprout. You know, it's springtime. You're seeing, you planted the seed, you planted more seed, you planted lots of seed. You could be called Sister Green Thumb, right? Yeah. And then you see it start to sprout and it blooms and it comes up. And it, I mean, there is, it's so amazing. I love to watch all of you grow and in cell groups, those that I, you know, I'm most intimate with in the cell group setting, and watch them grow, watch you grow and say yes to Jesus again and again and be confronted by the word, and we discuss it, and well, what does this mean, and well, how do we do this, and how do we really follow him? There goes my crown and my fishing pole. That's all right. But how do we really do this? And together, you know, we're being molded by him, so that we can be on mission to pour into others. And it's so fulfilling. It's so satisfying to see people getting freedom in Jesus. And it reminds me when I see, you know, somebody share a testimony. I did it. I went and prayed for somebody. Or this. Or God spoke the word to me and listened to the scripture. And he's telling me this. And so I'm going to do this. They have their revelation. They have their application of how they're going to do it. And they're running with it. And it's like, wow. Wow, it's so amazing. It's like when your child, your baby, you know, is learning to walk, right? And you're like, come on, take a step. And they fall, okay, they get back up, go. And that's how I feel when I'm watching disciples take steps and walk. And you say, good job, keep going. Mommy loves you. Daddy loves you. Don't give up. Don't give in. And so if you need some encouragement today about making disciples, about any stage of this, about following Jesus, about being transformed by Jesus, about being on mission with Jesus, let me encourage you, keep going, keep taking a step. I am, right, Pastor Karen? I am. She's one of my disciple makers. Praise the Lord. We must stay with him. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us to the end of the age as we are following Jesus, as we are on mission. Don't skip it. Don't be like me. Don't skip it. Go back. Being transformed by Jesus, that's a continual thing. We keep looking at him as we're following him, as we're being changed and transformed by him, molded into who he has for us to be, and as we are on mission. So take this encouragement today. Keep going. Don't give up. And if you don't feel like you're on the track, get on the track, Jack. It's never too late. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, get on the track, Jack. Come with me. Choo choo, let's go. The steamroller's moving. We're going to advance. Remember, we started the year out, hearts alive in 2025? Yes, we got things to do. We have the tent meeting coming up. We're praying for souls to come into the kingdom. And when they come in, then what? We're not going to leave the baby in the grocery store. See you later in the aisle 5 with the food. Oh, get some food. Just, you know. No, it's our job. It's our responsibility. We are chosen people for this. We are the holy set apart ones for this. We're a royal priesthood. You've got your fishing pole. So let's go. Let's fish. Let's do it. Let's make disciples. Praise the Lord. I'm getting fired up. Okay. We can land the plane. Church, we defined disciple, right? If I gave you all a piece of paper and said, test time, quiz time, write down the definition, I know you could all do it. So here's another definition, church. Church, the definition of church, it's not a building. Yeah, we meet in a building. We are the church. We are a spiritual family growing in surrendered obedience to all. Everybody say, all the teachings of Jesus Christ. Sorry, got a hair in my, okay. We are a church is a spiritual family growing in surrendered obedience to all the teachings of Jesus Christ who gather together regularly under biblically recognized leadership for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission, otherwise known as making disciples. With the great commandment heart, which is loving God and loving people. That's a church. That's who we are. We're a spiritual family growing together in surrendered obedience to all the teachings of Jesus Christ, who gather together regularly under biblically recognized leadership for the purpose. Why? For the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. That's why we're here, folks. We're not here for free Wi-Fi and some nice free coffee. We're here to make disciples, to fulfill what he told us to do, to go and make disciples. Are you on the path of following Jesus, not just fanning him? Are you allowing him to transform you? Are you really on mission with Jesus? We can do it, and we can do it together. Let's build here together at my Father's house. Let's make disciples together. It's exciting. We can do it. Let's follow him. Let's change. Let's go. Let's grow. All right, let's pray. We'll end. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you for this revelation coming to every heart. Father, that we are called for so much more than just sitting in a pew every Sunday. That we are called to this path of following you, of being a disciple of yours. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you for giving us understanding and giving us the vision of that and coming under the vision of the house here at my Father's house, that we are called as a spiritual family in surrendered obedience to follow all of your teachings, Jesus, to get on the path with following you, to be being changed by you, and to get on mission with you so that we can do what you asked us to do, which is, or told us to do, which is to go and make disciples. It's an exciting life that we've been called to. Thank you, God, for that amazing call over each of our lives. Help us to see that, to understand that, to grow together as we walk on that. Bring those that haven't understood that. Bring us in unity of this, of making disciples here together, so that we can grow in what you have for us individually and corporately as a spiritual family. And we're excited about that, God. Bring a mighty harvest for the tent meeting this year so that we can disciple people, help them get on the path, and help them follow you, help them be transformed as they encounter you and your word, and help them grow up to be future disciple makers and reproducing ourselves again and again in generations of disciple makers. I declare over this house that we will produce fruit and fruit that remains. And I thank you, God. I praise you for it. You are good and you are mighty, and there's nobody like you. Bless each of my family members today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.